We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Every Friday, we have our insider on Football Friday. He is the Professor John Clayton of ClaytonFootball.com. He's got some great things going up on there right now. Check it out. And we just, in the last couple of minutes, had breaking news come down in the NFL. What's going up, John?
Well, I mean, the Carlos Hyde trade, now we get the details. Apparently, it's only for a fifth-round pick next year. So Carlos Hyde goes down to Jacksonville. And I thought that one might have been one that Howie would have considered, because a fifth-round pick for a good running back like that, good, tough runner, guy that can get 1,000 yards in a season, that one kind of slipped through the cracks, I think.
That's what Ike was saying, John. I looked at the next 2 years in the contract where you could, if you wanted to cut him, you could save some money, but you still have about $2 million in dead money in each year, at least next year. I guess maybe Howie looked at the player and said, I don't know how much of an upgrade, A, maybe this year, but next, then I don't want him next year. You know what I mean? Maybe it had to do with future years and just this year.
Yeah, but of course, I mean, the one thing, if you pick him up in a trade, you don't have to worry about the proration. I mean, there's virtually no dead money unless there's going to be some guarantees in the contract. I haven't had a chance to look at the contract because I was trying to get the details of what the draft choice compensation was going to be. But I've liked him. I liked him in San Francisco. Now, he didn't fit in Kyle Shanahan's system that well, so he moves on. And then, you know, curiously, when you look at the Browns, I mean, that team had too many running backs. So it would be a natural team to be able to trade for, because Duke Johnson, who's not a bad back and got $5.2 million on a deal on his extension, he was kind of lost in the shuffle, kind of wondering, it's like, how come I'm going to be there? And, of course, you know, they have Chubb, who's a good running back and from college. So that was the team that was naturally going to be the one that could make a trade. Just kind of surprised that Hyde went. And, again, the reason for the fifth-round pick, I think, is just the fact that he's got a bigger contract, and that usually lowers the value of any player in a trade.
Yep.
Yeah, what does it say about Leonard Fournette and his availability? How long is he expected to be out?
You'd have to figure that they must expect it's going to be some time, because it just doesn't seem to be healthy from the hamstring. And, it's funny, because I still remember a story, and I didn't get to go to Jaguars camp, but I was almost going to go catch him in Minnesota, because they had up there and had a couple of days where they had no practices, and so I probably did. But I know the people up in Minnesota thought that he was a little heavy. Now, this is at a time when he came into camp and he said he's 15 pounds lighter. Mm-hmm. Well, I think that we can see that maybe he wasn't in the best of shape, and now he's paying the price with the soft tissue injury with the hamstring. And, really, you look at that offense, I mean, it's desperate right now. They're down two running backs with Fournette out, because they had to put Corey Grant on IR. They're down two left tackles. They are down two wide receivers. It's almost like Noah's Ark. I mean, everybody's going in there two by two into the injured list and not coming back out. So I can see that they needed that spark. But, interesting to see it was the Browns that made that deal.
All right, Professor John Clayton, tell us what this means for the possibility of a Le'Veon Bell trade with the Eagles. The market, I don't want to say the market was set with a fifth-round draft pick, but what does this mean? Where do we stand with Pittsburgh, and where do we stand with the Eagles right now?
Yeah, I still think they're going to hold out for a number one, and I can't see Howie giving up a number one, because, I mean, if you even go back and, his history, even with Joe Banner, the players that they value for a number one are basically, pass rushers, tackles, particularly left tackles, wide receivers, and cornerbacks, and obviously quarterbacks. Those are the five that they really kind of cherish, and so I can't imagine stepping up for a number one. I mean, from the affordability standpoint, he's down to $8.5 million. With what he's already lost, because he's already lost over $6 million. So, from the cost standpoint, it's not that bad, because you get him for, that's what the price is the rest of the season. But I can't imagine Howie giving up a number one pick for a running back. That just seems to be a little bit too much.
Yeah, any other names can we expect to possibly be moved? We've heard a couple big names, the Patrick Petersons, Amari Cooper. Obviously, Le'Veon's name has been out there. This Carlos Hyde move kind of surprised a lot of people, because his name hasn't been out there. Can we expect to see anything else like this over the next couple weeks or week and a half?
Yeah, we're at 91 trades, and I would imagine there's probably going to be 5 to 6, maybe 7 more trades before the 31st. I mean, it's not going to be Patrick Peterson. They're not going to be their best, one of their best players. That's not going to happen. I mean, it could be a big shopping list of Raiders, although they found out today at running back that Marshawn Lynch is going to be out at least a month with a groin injury. And I think there's a good likelihood they may just put him on injured reserve. But, yeah, Cooper's available. You can definitely get Carl Joseph at safety. And I'm sure that anybody that was drafted before John Gruden got there is pretty much up for grabs. And having just been on the sidelines with him, it's like that's a mess right now. So I would imagine the Raiders will make a trade or two. Certainly, you'd have to think that something's going to happen at the wide receiver position at a couple spots because, you know, Dallas needs more wide receiver help, and you can look at Cleveland needing wide receiver help. There's a bunch of teams right now that are down receivers, so I think you'll probably see a little bit of that. But, again, I still have to think that, you know, the way that they did the Fletcher Cox deal, that somehow, some way, Howie's got to make some kind of a deal because that's what he is. He's a deal maker.
Mm. It's interesting. I was thinking, you know, Cowboys, Amari Cooper, any possible marriage there between, you know, Dallas needs a wideout.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's possible. I mean, yeah. You know, what you're looking at, in fact, it's funny because now that Earl Thomas is out for the season, the Amari Cooper trade for Dallas is now taken over because now that's what everybody's – I mean, aside from everybody who wants to get Jason Garrett fired, that's the the main topic right now. So it's like you know, the Cooper move would be an interesting one. You know, and I think that they were willing to give up a number two for Earl Thomas. Now, I know that the Raiders are asking for a number one, and first off, they've got to see – how long it's going to take for him to get out of concussion protocol because, yeah. I mean, he was one of four wide receivers that the Seahawks knocked out, and now today the league came back and ruled that they probably should have had a penalty for a defenseless receiver on Bradley McDougal on the hit on Cooper. And he was in bad shape. I mean, he went past me, and he was in another planet. I mean, I know we're all in London, so we're in another country, but, I mean, he had moved from London to somewhere in, I think, Mars.
Yeah, I saw the highlight of that hit. I'm surprised they didn't call it, man. Because that's what they've been trying to clean out of the game.
Well, the interesting thing is, and this is an import from Cam Chancellor. Cam Chancellor, who's now, you know, pretty much out of football, but he still hangs around the team because he's guaranteed $11 million over the next this year and next year. And so I think at some point he's going to get into coaching. He's been coaching up McDougal, and he's also been coaching up Tedrick Thompson, the new safety, and trying to get them to make big legal hits that are impactful. And again, McDougal, you can see the way he was going in there, wasn't necessarily trying to headhunt. He was trying to at least get the good hit on him, but then I think his head did get a little bit too high. But I think that they were giving him the benefit of the doubt on that one. And what the Seahawks are trying to do is kind of get that legion of boom feel back because, you know, they haven't had it since Cam Chancellor wasn't able to play in the last seven games of last year. But they've now wiped out four wide receivers with concussions in the last 2 weeks, and at least three of the four were legal hits. And this was legal, at least on the field. But now in retrospect, it looks like it would have been a penalty.
John, better chance something happens on the trade market with the Eagles? Better chance it happens or it doesn't happen?
All I say is defer to the general manager because, I mean, look at his history. I mean, when you don't think he's going to be making a trade, he'll make a trade. I mean, he's one of the most aggressive guys and one of the most creative guys in the league. And with that in mind and the fact that he cleared up some cap room, I can't guarantee he's going to make a trade. But just knowing him and knowing how good he is, you just anticipate it. I give it about a 97% chance.
I'll take 97%. But it sure looks like he's positioning to do something. He's just got to get it done.
Yeah, well, and I think what it comes down to is that what you have to start to look at is that you know, where teams are starting, where they are, because now you're starting to see the teams that are dropping out, the teams, and of course injuries play a role. Because I know that Tevin Coleman was, you know, somebody that at least you throw his name out, but now Devontae Freeman's out for the season, and so Tevin Coleman is now too valuable to let go for the Falcons, even though they're probably only going to finish with 7 wins and not make the playoffs.
John, let me ask you this. Could Le'Veon Bell, can he go back to Pittsburgh? I know he can, but can he? Do you believe the Steelers have a plan in place that says, you know what, we're fine with Le'Veon coming back. Now, if a team comes up and gives us an offer we can't refuse, we'll do that. But can he go back with everything that's happened and everything else has happened with that team this year?
No, it's going to be tough because, again, you know, you would have to figure in the minds of the offensive linemen because you've heard how they've been grumbling. And even in the case of Ben Roethlisberger, that trust factor is completely gone. And so because you realize it's like, okay, so they might have won one more game had they had him. And you have Ben made the comment 2 weeks ago that he doesn't want to take away too many carries from James Conner just because Le'Veon's going to be there. I'm sure Le'Veon didn't like that, but then, you know, Le'Veon is not even kept in touch with anybody on the team. He's not been in touch with the offensive linemen. He's not been in touch with some of the other people, the coaching staff, or anything like that. So he's out of sight, out of mind, and you have to figure it's got to be a bad relationship once he comes back. And so, yeah, I mean, that's why they might reconsider, because, again, one thing that they don't want to do is have that principle. It's like if you make these silly moves like Le'Veon that you get your way and get traded, well, again, that's going to be part of it. And also he is valuable for the team because they still are in the playoff race. So, but I still think that there's an outside chance, but more than likely he's going to go back there and it's going to be a disaster.
John Clayton of ClaytonFootball.com. I'm up on it right now, John. What's the best thing you have up on there right now for our listeners?
Pretty soon I'm just waiting for the final injury report, and we're going to kind of go through that because I'm going to lead with Jacksonville and the mess that they are and why they had to make the Carlos Hyde trade. One of the interesting ones I thought was kind of I did this week was I looked at the backup quarterbacks, and right now they're actually doing pretty well. But usually when you have a backup quarterback in there, you sacrifice 7 points. So if you have a 24-point offense, it's going to go to 17. But right now, with all the wacky stats and all the scoring going on, these quarterbacks are actually doing pretty good. But again, it'll all catch up because it's the old Ted Marchibroda theory. If you have a good backup quarterback, you can start 3 and win 3. But if you play him 6, he'll lose you 3.
All right, John, appreciate it. Talk to you next week, man.
Thank you.
There he is, right, the Professor John Clayton.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like Le'Veon needs to get traded there, Ike.
Yeah, you know what, man? That thing, I don't know how that's going to work out. I really don't. I really don't. Steelers want too much in return for him. They basically, whether they've intentionally done it or unintentionally done it, people know how this ultimately plays out, which is Le'Veon can't go back to that team and in that locker room.
No.
So what are you going to do? And Le'Veon ultimately still holds some of the cards.
Yeah, he does.
So,
No, they're scared to death how he's going to react to something happening.
Right. They don't want him to come back. He wants them to basically just rescind the franchise tag and just let him go.
Right. Sure.
Like,
sure,
so it's a stare down contest right now.
They're playing chicken.
Yeah.
And Howie's playing chicken with them because he doesn't want to give away much.
Exactly. And Howie's playing it the way you should play it, quite frankly, because he doesn't want to give away the high pick. So, Howie's saying, okay, we'll call your bluff. We know you're not going to let him back in the building.
If you offered what the Steelers would take, they would take it right now.
Right now.
Right? They would take it right now. So now it's a waiting game because the Steelers don't have to do anything yet. He pushes that issue once he reports or he says he's like, all right, I'm reporting today.
Yeah.
Then he pushes the hand of the Steelers. That's when it turns into a circus. That's when everybody's getting questioned. The offensive line, said this.
He's not coming back in that locker room. Hey, I mean, James Conner's playing too well.
He really is. So, and he's on my fantasy team, man. Can't have Le'Veon
right,
coming back.
Right, you ain't keep
him, man. He's carrying my damn team, Mike.
Yeah, so I don't see it. It's ultimately see the Steelers having to let Le'Veon go and just let him go.
Well, they get a third compensation pick likely, but that's not till 2020.
Well, they may as well wait on it.
So Howie may say we'll give you a conditional third now.
Right. They misplayed their hand with this.
Oh, they
because they miscalculated the fact that he would give up the money.
They thought he was going to do what he did last year, which is report
just come in
for the first game, and you come in, and everything's fine, and he goes on with it. And he said, "Nah,
yeah,
I'm cool." 888-729-9494.
I wouldn't have done it, but
Marks and Reese, hell no,
he did it.
Passing up that much money, right. My dad would slap me upside the head.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm like, I wouldn't have done it, but
he makes more money in one game than Conner makes the entire year.
Yeah.
I mean, think about that.
Yeah.
888-729-9494.
Well, so does Ben and so does...
They all do.
So does Antonio Brown.
Hey, can we send... By the way, it's a $1 billion jackpot tonight in Mega Millions. It's not Mega Millions. It's Mega Billion.
Mega Billion.
Can we send Turtle? Did Turtle leave yet? Can we send him down to get us some tickets?
Yeah, get our tickets together,
Ben,
man.
Can we
How
send
many
them
tickets
down?
We want?
I mean, I'll throw in a couple bucks.
I got 5. I'm putting 5 in.
I got a $5 bill.
So just know, however many tickets we get, I get an even split here.
Wait, but how are we doing this?
Even split.
Even split?
Well, it depends on how much money
you
throw in. Everybody's throwing 5.
Yeah.
I'll put in five.
Put in five.
Yeah. I don't trust you guys.
Don't put in a dollar. Think you're getting an even split.
Here's the thing I know about you, John. I'm afraid that if I let you handle the ticket, I'm not going
to
see.
I don't want the ticket.
Oh man, the taxes were really high, man.
No, the ticket would be lost. I would lose it. Don't let me anywhere near it.
Oh my God. And nothing scares me more in life than the thought of having that ticket
and losing it
after I've won it.
I'll hold it.
Walking down the street normally.
No.
No, you're not going anywhere.
Not the guy that may have. Never mind.
Four NFL players and your money, your dirty money managers.
We need a woman to hold it. Right? Because you know she's not going to lose it. We need a safe.
Yeah, right between the cleavage.
I lost a nearly $2,000 betting ticket on Chris Weidman when he beat the who did he beat?
Who the hell is Chris Weidman?
He beat the UFC fighter.
Oh.
He beat Silva.
Oh,
I was there.
Anderson Silva?
I was there. I lost it. And I lost $2,000. Someone found it and cashed it.
Oh.
Do you know what that felt like?
No, I don't.
I don't do shots. I did 6 or 7 shots afterwards. I was throwing up in a solo cup inside of a limousine later that night.
You're trying to forget it that you.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was so mad.
Oh, I'm sure you were.
Like $1,789.
Right. Yeah, I'm sure.
And
you went
to the window and I said I lost the ticket. They said as soon as you got to give me 15 or 20 minutes because it was right after the fight ended. And they're like, "Well, go back." I knew what window. I knew when it was because of text messages and stuff. He's like, went and watched the video. I said, "Yup." He's like, "Yup, that's you right there. Let me get the ticket number." And he goes, and it was cashed.
Oh, somebody had already cashed it?
Yep. While I was standing there waiting to see if it was stolen.
It's funny you bring that up because Chris Carlin put in a bet on the Eagles to win the Super Bowl. And it was like a $50 bet. I didn't even know he was going to cash it. And the first thing he does, because you know how he thinks, after they win the Super Bowl, is he gives me a scrambled phone call. Like, I'm sitting there singing, and I get a call. He's like, "You have to delete that tweet. Delete the tweet."
What tweet?
And I tweeted out a photo of his ticket because he's like, "Oh, they're." He kind of bought it wink, wink.
Right.
He's like, "Oh, they're never going to win."
Right.
But like,
I remember.
He went
down
to Vegas and he just did it. And
yeah,
they
was a show
odds.
Thing.
It was like,
right.
It was, they were like 50 to 1.
Oh, yeah, I remember. Yeah, I remember him doing it. So because you had tweeted it out. So
right, he's like, "Delete the tweet."
What, somebody else could go?
Well, I mean, I thought it was for maybe tax purposes that he wants the tweet deleted, but
no.
Ben just aired that out on the air.
No, it wasn't that. No, he was worried that somebody was going to take the ticket. Like, how do you take a ticket off of a tweet?
Someone will figure it out, that's for sure.
That's for sure.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.